Everybody, I'm Alexander.
I'm Justinian.
Petrol.
And that's our woman in the booth, Booth Woman.
Booth Woman! Yeah!
I gotta say, Alex, is it weird to have Booth Woman be your fiancé?
Shut up!
Is that weird?
No, she's not. Anyway, Booth Man's still dead this week.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Yes, he will be undead next week.
Yeah. Booth Man, pick up Booth Man R.I.P. You can figure really, it out.
A lot of really, tie-ins.
It's
a lot
really
of tie-ins
freaking really. Weird.
Yeah, you want to
no
understand.
Sense right now. Yeah.
He showed up in a big outfit, colorful outfit with a cod piece on.
And then... yeah, there was no
there's a reader, there's a cod piece.
Yes. There was two specific references.
Yeah, very specific.
Thank you guys so much for coming out to Comic Book Club. We are very excited about the guests that we have tonight. We have multiple guests for you guys. Three times
wow,
the guests.
Wow, yeah. Yay. Bonus show,
we'll
bonus show.
Tonight.
Yeah, there, it's a little three-on-three action.
Yeah, sweet. We're going to be skins. They're going to be shirts. Yeah. We're going to get a sweet game of horse going.
Yeah, it's
going
to be pretty cool. So let's introduce them, ladies and gentlemen. Arvid Nelson, Jesse Falcon, and James Asper! And now we'd like to welcome 10 more dudes onto the stage.
Yeah.
Dudes.
So what do you dudes want to talk about? Sports or what's going on?
Let's talk about the Olympics.
Oh, man.
So great.
That's
what's
crazy.
That?
What's the Olympics?
So much swimming. Anyway, yeah, actually the only thing I've seen is the American finish that swimming relay. I've seen that 10 times, and I haven't seen anything else, because every time I turn on sports, that's it. So I guess that's the only event.
Have you seen water polo? It looks like 25 people drowning at the same time.
What is going on right now? Why are we talking about the Olympics?
We're people talking about stuff that interests us.
I'm interested in comics, so let's and talk to them. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to have you here again. When we bumped into you at San Diego Comic-Con, you were
Yay! Bumping into people!
What was that?
Vegas for nerds!
Yeah. Happened at Comic-Con, that nothing happens except no one hooks up.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, they hook up, but it's mainly like, I'm going to hook you up with some toys. Okay. Speaking of toys, you were watching it in Toy Lines.
Yeah, that's right. It was called Marvel Universe, and Hasbro will be out with it early next year, first quarter. End of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. They like to split things up into quarters, those Hasbronians. And it's a free Hasbronians. It's 1,500 people up there in an old G.I. Joe factory in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And they,
awesome.
Their mail is delivered, no bullshit, by a droid. By a massive droid that goes around every day with the mail. You know, in most corporate offices, it's the retarded guy, but they have a droid.
Which is better?
I don't know. It's hard to say. So this line's a 3¾-inch line, which if any of you have ever collected any Hasbro stuff, that's really what they work in. G.I.
This
Joe's.
Is your
good. You guys are nodding viciously. Yes! Anything you say.
Star Wars, obviously, is 3¾-inch. So this is something that's... It's great because now all your Marvel characters can fit perfectly into the Millennium Falcon.
That's cool. Finally, I can have a live representation of my fanfic.
They won't be naked. They still have clothes.
And I won't be in it yet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep you out of it.
It's possible.
Yeah. Actually, can we bring the lights down and go to the next slide? Because I think we have a couple of pictures.
Yeah.
Awesome. And in fact,
I know that we have a couple of pictures.
So, hit the next slide. So, okay, there's the Iron Man.
Yeah, so that's the Iron Man. That's the Extremis armor.
Was that ice cream?
In Iron Man 2, the repulsor rays just shoot ice cream.
Awesome!
Iron Man 3, they shoot gelato.
Oh, the European adventures.
They tease that in the first movie.
They do. Right?
They had a scoop of gelato on the side of the
Great Easter egg.
Quick question, if this isn't probing too much.
Bro, please.
Bro,
these things where it's like raised Frozen coming out. I've talked to a lot of people who are very split on them. What do you guys who put the figures together think about that?
You know what? Honestly, something like that is really... I always feel it's really important to get the kids involved. Like, the collectors, I think, really respond well to accuracy and good articulation. And I think, like, a lot of tchotchkes that are, like, kind of unnecessary. Like, if Nick Fury's obviously got to have guns, Punisher's got to have guns.
Right.
He doesn't really have to have this. But if you're a kid, it's kind of important to the play pattern to, like, really, you know, show him using his abilities and his armor. So
my play pattern is crazy.
Let's go to the next slide.
That is the book. And that'll be out this year as well. We're going to have a variant with the Grey Hulk. It'll be a little different head sculpt. Super articulated.
He looks stressed out.
One of the things we're going to be doing is each of these, it's kind of cool. Like, the guys up at Hasbro, we've over the last 2.5 years, we've worked on them enough that, I'm kidding, they have a really great group of guys who are really into Marvel. One of the things they're doing for this first wave, or for every wave, is they're going to get like a big-time Marvel artist to do all the card art. So the first wave of art is all going to be done by Frank Cho. We haven't announced who the next guy is going to be, but so it'll be divided by waves by artists. And one of the other things we're doing is you get a little dossier in each pack out. It's going to have it's going to be the Fury files, and there's Nick Fury's actual notes on each of these characters, and then there's a little specific URL on there that you can type in and get more information. And then next year, we're going to be doing a super big Secret Time promotion.
Oh, Secret Time! His notes are like, the Hulk is an asshole. Iron Man drinks too much.
You should write a Nick Fury series.
I would love to. He just shits
on
everything.
You captured
him. Yeah, the voice.
Let's go to the next slide.
But the Gentle Giant, really fantastic company in Los Angeles who does all the laser scanning for all the actors and all the movies when they get turned into action figures. They sculpted this. They have a great group of guys over there.
So who did they scan?
Fishnet stocking?
I don't know that they scanned anybody for that one. I think the guy who was working for them.
There's
a
guy who works at the automotive.
That's the guy who owns Gentle Giant. He's like, finally a toy of me.
My ugliness is paying off for
one. The tiny pumpkin I carry everywhere.
But those are just three of the figures. There's going to be a wave every month. March, April, May, there's going to be a wave every month. I think there's about 7 figures in each wave. So they're kind of carpet bombing mass market retail.
Aggressive term.
Yeah. Kids will be running out of the aisles.
Yeah, they're daisy chaining the American population.
Totally rallying.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yeah, cool. We're on the same page.
Yeah,
right,
totally.
All right. So, James, let's talk to you for a little bit. Now, I don't know if this is what you would say, but you're going to be writing your first story for a comic book soon, right?
Yeah.
And
actually,
would you say that I made you? Like, this is because of me and that I brought you up in the ranks? Is that what you would say?
How would that even be possible?
Is actually, it's not wholly untrue. I came up here in June, right, with a sketch comedy trio I do called Hey You Millionaires as part of the New York Sketch Fest that we were kind enough to be brought in for. And
jeez.
And through that graciousness, actually, a gentleman I have known who works for Marvel Comics brought some people with him to the show, and they loved it, and then sort of asked me about maybe starting to write for them.
Oh my God, that is sweet.
It was like the nerdiest dream come true, cohesion of like the worlds of my life. And so he asked me to pitch. They'll start people out with like 8-page backup stories or whatever. So he asked me to pitch one for this upcoming X-Men Manifest Destiny, like miniseries dealing with them moving out to San Francisco. And I said, can it be funny? And he said he would prefer it to be humorous. So I wrote it, came up with a story the next day, called him, pitched it, he liked it, and I wrote it the next day and sent it in, and they bought it. So it's actually coming out. It was going to be an issue 2, but they bumped it up to issue number 1. So I think that means it's coming out in September.
Yeah. Wow. Nice work.
I'm sure you're nice guy. Listen, Alex, do you know anyone
amateur sketch comedians who would be interested in writing for Marvel Comics. Buddy, you spend a lot of goddamn time on this! Maybe you'd like to get them jobs before you get them all right. Pete,
just come and talk to me after the show. That's all.
It's true.
Oh, I'll hook you guys up.
No,
thanks.
No, I'm happy to help out anyone's fucking career. God damn.
This is what I look like?
Yeah. That's how crazy you usually get.
Oh, man, this is awesome.
Well, congratulations, James, and you're welcome.
Wait, let's back up the truck a second. Yeah. Did your sketches have anything to do with, like, were there a lot of comic book references in it? Like,
No.
What the fuck? So you're telling me someone from Marvel was at a show and was like, this guy's hilarious.
We know guys from Marvel all over the place. Yeah.
You should write a comic book?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is they just really loved the writing, and I'm not sure if they didn't tell me exactly what aspect. And then when I was talking,
you write out every single piece of this.
That's why we haven't done ever.
I also work in Chicago as a playwright, okay. And so when they were talking to me about that,
all right, so it wasn't like the guy was just like, oh, this guy.
Well, but so they talked to me about it when they heard about that. Then they were like, all right, well, if you're doing like full narratives too,
That's awesome.
And I'm doing one right now that I want to plug. For the live people, this may be boring on the radio, but in the New York Fringe Fest right now, that's why I just ran here, we're doing a musical about a necrophiliac mortician who falls in love with his first live girl. At the same time
that
there...
Sounds like a tearjerker.
Exactly. At the same time that there are unsolved murders, so they're digging up the bodies, and of course they find my DNA all over it. So... The writer, James Ezzis. No, I play the necrophiliac. It's hard to convince some other actor to really put themselves out there as a corpse fucker.
Yeah, that's nice that you do that.
Yeah, it's great to draw from personal experience.
Exactly.
I think you just lost your Marvel job.
Yeah. That corpse fucker story was really good.
Yeah. That was a weird X-Men title. I don't know why Wolverine was humping skeletons.
I think this is a great transition to turn over and talk to Arvid about Bundy. So for those who aren't familiar with the series, give us the general idea of what it is.
Yeah, sure. Rex Mundi is a quest for the Holy Grail told as a murder mystery.
Sweet. Oh. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Later!
Obviously, it's very hard to keep an independent comic series going for a while, but Rex Mundi has been going on for a while. Why do you think it's worked?
Well, for two reasons, actually. I think I'm just, like, brute sort of lack of facing reality on my part, and my grandmother gave me money.
Wow.
We're just that's finding out what we lack of.
Grandparents! You were saying earlier that if you had to do it all over again, there's no way in hell that you would do it.
No,
or you'd never do it again.
Well, it's been extremely difficult for me. I mean, it has been 9 years. I had to move back in with my parents for a while to keep doing it. I've gone through 3 different artists. Actually, I started with an artist, and we were partners on it. And it was sad. I mean, as we started getting more and more success, it became more and more stressful. I mean, it was just a dream that we both had. I met him in San Diego in 1999. And the more responsibilities we had, I think the more stressful it became for both of us. I don't think any of us, or either of us, had any idea it would be where it is right now. So that was sad, and it was difficult. And it's just hard depending on other people, too. Like you said, doing something independently. I started at Image Comics, and Image Comics is great. People, I think, get a little down on Image Comics sometimes, because they say, oh, they only come out with 3 issues, and then it folds. Well, unless you've been there, I mean, it's really, really hard to keep going after 3 issues. I mean, your first issue might sell.
And there's a fairy.
Yeah.
Someone get that fairy?
And that's another deal coming in for James over here. Hello, this guy.
So anyways, your first issue, if you're lucky, it'll sell around 4,000 copies. Mm-hmm. And then your second issue will sell maybe half of that.
Why is that? Why is the, like, is that the basic number? Is that promotion? Like, if you had more money to spend on advertising, do you think that you would have a better opening, just numbers-wise? Because working with Marvel, I hear conversations going back and forth about guys that are you know, editors that or guys that have written books, and they're like, oh, we sold X amount or X amount, and I'm like, I wonder how, well, like, how does that work industry wise? And if you start at 4 and you go down to 2, like, would you be able to affect that number? By more advertisement or more promotion?
You actually can affect that number. In fact, I think we debuted at about 11,000. Mm-hmm. We were kind of bummed out about that, but then we sort of retrospect, it was actually pretty good. We did an online comic for a year before it started. I think that helped a lot. And Eric, my partner, he was really, really aggressive about marketing it too. I think you have to really, really believe in it, eat, sleep, and breathe it. So it's not impossible to do. It's just a hell of a lot of work, and it's grueling.
That's so great. That's what you got to look forward to, man.
What's coming up for the title?
I'm really excited. This month, we're doing a one-off. It's going to be 2 stories in 1 issue. One will be drawn by Guy Davis and colored by Dave Stewart. Whoa. I think there's... Yeah. So
awesome. It just sold 2,000 more copies. We have the audience.
Your audience is a lot bigger than
that. No, that's a fake wall. There's a lot of other people back there.
They're both like the nicest, most humble. I think they're 2 of the best people working in comics today, maybe ever. Just brilliant. Dave Stewart, he draws another comic I write and created called Zero Killer, which is kind of in limbo right now. But he did such a beautiful job. Took a big pay cut to work on it because he liked the story. And you never know. He doesn't act like
a jerk,
a genius. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Same thing.
Yeah. So
I think so.
And then the other part of it is we'll be doing we're continuing the webcomic. We're going to be starting a story in the comic book, and it's going to be continuing and finishing online. So
great. So look forward to that. And it's time to turn over to our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
First thing we're going to talk about today is Final Crisis number 3.
Accidental sigh. Right,
Pete, there. Do you want to talk about this?
I don't know. Alex, how do you want to word this? This is really going to decide.
Hey, why don't I talk about it? So, Alex and Pete made this bet that Pete wouldn't read Final Crisis. Then when we were taping the web version of the show, Alex tricked Pete into reading it. And Pete's pissed about it, so he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, what happened was we decided the joke of me trying to guess what was happening in the comic had run its course. I'd done that a couple of times. It was fun, but it's gotten old. So Alex was like, well, why don't you read it?
There's the trick.
Yeah. And we'll go online and we'll be like, hey, you know what? The bet's over. Nobody's getting $1 million. We just decided that, you know, it'd be better to, you know, read it and be able to talk about it. So I was like, great. So then when the cameras turned on, he goes, I tricked Pete! And I was like, you motherfucker.
And that's how a trick works.
Yeah. So what did you think of it?
I'm not talking about it.
Oh, God.
Have you guys been reading this series at all?
I bailed in the middle of the last Crisis series. I'm not just saying this to be a company man. I've always been more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, especially in their events. I feel like the DC ones tend to kind of blur together, and the Marvel ones, I feel like, have like a philosophy behind that each arc that they're like taking part in this. Although I do see that Frankenstein is in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because not really a lot of people ask for it.
Here, my thing about, I'm the biggest Grant Morrison fan on the face of the earth, and I really feel like his talents are wasted when he works for Marvel or DC. I feel like he overthinks things. I don't want to say overthink, but I think that a lot of what he's trying to do gets lost. I think when he works on things like We 3,
with a clear focus,
he should just be doing his own things. Like, well, when you're at that, like Alan Moore, he's at an Alan Moore level. Yeah. He should be doing, like, Alan Moore's not writing, you know, for he needs to be more of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He needs to live in a castle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like H.R. Giger.
Yeah.
Well, have his own train inside the castle.
Like silver spoons.
No bullshit. Giger does have a train inside of his castle. A friend of mine stayed with him for 2 months, having to get a sculpture approved.
How else would you get around a castle? You imagine walk around your castle?
Yeah.
Or some train. If you have the money for a train, buy it.
The train never comes.
Yeah. Conductor, there's always someone puking. In this, I feel like even beyond that, Grant Morrison purposely is like, well, I need to kind of put off all the real answers till like the fifth issue. And so then it becomes this like secret, coy game of telling the story, and that's what the big problem with this.
That being said, you bought the director's cut accidentally, right?
By accident.
And there was actually a really good amount of explanation in that of the first issue, and we were talking about it a little bit, that he keeps saying, like, oh, it's all in the issue, I don't know why you guys don't see it. And when you read his explanations of it, you're like, oh, I guess maybe I should have saw that? I guess so. But I agree with you that all of it is so obsequious across the board that it's impossible to figure out exactly what's going on at any point.
And not just for us. I was just told this week that he did a scene in here where the Joker has this fantasy where he's killing somebody, and then the last panel...
Oh, that's Batman. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. But he wrote that, right?
Yeah.
So the last panel, he goes back in reality where he hasn't killed anybody, and the artist and the editor were so lost in the description that he drew him as though he killed somebody. So they colored this panel, they drew it, they put it out there, they're like, you know, it was totally, they told the story wrong. So even they're not getting it.
No one gets it but Grant.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You write comics for yourself.
Yeah.
There you go.
Would you say pick it up?
Well, this is the last issue before the break, and it seems like they're making a push to kind of crystallize the story a little bit, but still is really confusing. Yeah, I mean, if you want to know what happens in the end, what else can you say?
That was a glowing recommendation.
What else? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say skip it. I don't know. I'm just, I don't think it's a badly done comic because he's definitely has interesting ideas and the art is good, but it's not a good overall comic.
I would say that if you make a bet with someone and then call off the bet and then say it tricked you, that's fucked up.
Remember that when you go to the comic book store. All right, let's talk about Detective Comics 847. Sort of continuing the Batman RIP storyline. What do you guys think about this?
It's really upsetting when they put RIP tie-in on the top of the freaking comic and you're like, sweet, I gotta get this. And it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, well, what they've been doing with these RIP storylines, again, because nobody has any idea what Grant Morrison is doing, Batman RIP, is that they have them being like, oh, Black Glove.
Yeah.
And that's the only reference they made to the Batman RIP storyline.
And the editors are like, well, it probably ties in. I don't know what's going on.
What do you think about this issue, then?
I like the return of Hush storyline. I was not into the first Hush one, but I think Paul Dini's doing a fine job bringing it back and having it make a little bit more sense, telling a backstory. I like the art a lot.
I felt bad for Zatanna there, where she's like hustling, doing card games on the street for quarters.
Gotta earn a buck, bro.
Dude, that's rough.
Well, you ever played that? Three Card Monty?
No.
You can make so much money so fast. We got a game on the corner on the show. Yeah.
Oh, I gotta play that.
Yeah.
I know how to beat it.
Yeah. We'll see.
This is okay. The end.
Done.
No, it's fine. This is not the best thing Paul Dini has done. He's the best at doing one-shots. You know, when he's doing things, when he's structuring things like the animated series. Did you guys watch the animated series?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
He's the best when he's doing that in this title, and I don't like the fact that this is a 5-issue arc. It just feels unnecessary.
It's one of those things that they tie together in a mini movie. They sell to you on the DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But having said that, the next comic we're talking about, Robin, I think is a great issue that ties in well and actually fleshes out the RIP storyline in a good way.
I also agree. This is Robin 176. That was a little segue for you guys.
Yeah, I took over this.
Plus, yeah, you did. You're the host now.
Yeah.
What do I do? What
do I do? Plus, I like the fact that it drew back on the fact that Batman was in a cave for like 40 days. And like that was just kind of, kind of just said. And this kind of really deals with it a little bit, which...
it's kind of surprising to me that this is the best tie-in and actually probably even better than what's going on in Batman RIP. It's ridiculous because it shows Robin searching for Batman, interacting and weaving into events that are happening in the main title, And like you're saying, it throws back to events that happened a year or two ago that, again,
Countdown.
Written by Grant Morrison and nobody explained.
And it made no sense. In Countdown, Batman went in a cave and a guy with eyeballs on his fingers was like, I'm going to get you. And he was like, nope. And he hid in a cave and then came out later and everyone was like, I guess
fine.
He's back.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then that's what they're picking up the pieces
of. At least they're showing it from Robin's perspective of what's going on.
It's a good issue. I like this book. I like the spoiler character. It's good to see your back.
Yeah. What do you guys think about Robin, Nightwing, etc.?
The jerks.
Nick Fury.
I think the Joker needs to kill more of them. I love Batman as just a shred on this side of morality of the Punisher. You know, like he will do everything but kill you. And I love that. And I think anytime he's like, but first, I need to tell a boy to brush his teeth. Anytime that happens, I think it makes him a different character and not one that I think is awesome.
Yeah, I think that's why Chris Nolan doesn't ever want to do Robin in any of those movies, because once you introduce that character,
sense.
You change the whole tone of Batman.
Exactly.
So, and Batman's amazing when Robin's not around, you know?
That's settled. But that being said, you'd say pick up this issue?
Yeah, it's a good comic.
It's a good comic. That's fine. You can do good comics with characters that don't have to exist. Like,
wait. I feel like he's tricking me.
This is what I'm talking about. King-size Spider-Man special. Collecting a couple of fun little stories about everybody's favorite web slinger. What'd you guys think about this?
Is everyone's favorite web slinger? I don't
know. Yeah. What other web slingers do you like?
An actual spider?
They're scary. I don't like those.
Yeah. Alex hates them too.
No, but I feel like that's a good way to put it. It is three cute little Spider-Man stories. The last one being the mini Marvels. Yeah, mini Marvels.
We had the guys on here last week.
Yeah. Which I don't know. I didn't like them at first, but now they're kind of growing on me. And I thought it was funny how
the guys or the mini Marvels.
The actual mini Marvels. Okay.
They were so tiny. We didn't even see them to have it through the show.
It was funny to have Venom the whole time just be like, I want to eat your brain.
Yeah.
It didn't get old.
Yeah.
This is okay. People have been going crazy about this online.
Yeah, it's
I think
weird.
Like literally crazy, like insane. Like there was blog posts of just random strings of characters having absolutely nothing to do with it, and then they were like, "Buy King Size Spider-Man."
I don't know what sites you're on. This
I write a couple of websites.
Yeah,
he does.
Well, they've been releasing so much Spider-Man material over the last month. They did another giant book last week. The Spider-Man family book, and I don't know why they're doing
it. It's kind of a popular character.
No, but even so, they're three times monthly, and now they're filling it up even more.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, there's different age ratings for all the Marvel books, and this, I think, is an all-ages graded book. So when you get all-ages grading books, there's a different route of distribution for some of them. Obviously, they're going to go to the comic book stores. But we have a big in-school program where we'll have like easy reader comics in schools or at bigger mass market retail chains like Walmart, Kmart, and Toys R Us, because that's really where we're getting them into kids' hands. And as you know, the way that the Marvel comics are split up, they're like video games. We've got some that are really meant for the people in this room, and then there's some that are meant for kids. And like that's how I got into it. I had Easy Reader Spider-Man comics when I was a kid, and I literally learned how to read them.
So these are like candy cigarettes.
Exactly.
The ones you know how cool it is.
Yeah, right?
Real fucking cigarettes.
Exactly. The first ones for free.
That explains that.
Yeah. The minute I was hosting the show, now I've been tricked twice.
Man, would you guys say pick it up, though?
Yeah.
I would say,
you're a glowing recommendation.
Well, it's all these books that it's like, it's kind of good. There's like some good things that happen.
There's some really cute art in it.
Well, you know who it is? It's Colleen Coover. Alex bought her porno book. He's fetishizing all of the Marvel
things. I spend a lot of time tracing over them. Anyway, okay. Move on. Talk about Rest number 0, produced by Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes.
Oh,
Which I don't know what that means.
It means he made the paper from trees. He ground down the pulp.
He pulped it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why they're called pulps. Did you know that?
No, I've never heard that word.
Yeah. There was either a tire guy or a pig, and I'm pretty sure it was a pig.
Nice.
What do you guys think about this comic book?
I'm still freaked out for when I had to interview him for Comic-Con. His pitch to me about the book was, who wouldn't want to take a pill so you would never have to sleep again? I was just like, yeah. What the fuck are you talking about? Sleeping is awesome.
So you guys have different,
different lifestyles. I didn't know where to go from there. And then, you know, the book.
The interview was over?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Good
I can't
luck
talk
to heroes. But, I can't get over my creeped outness over him, that I'm creeped out by the book. Carried on.
High emotional content.
Yeah.
This book is pretty bad. not to knock Milo's production, but this is like a movie pitch, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, we're just reading this credits in the first page, and it's like, okay, how does he involve in this? And it says, just all it says is produced by.
Yeah.
It's written by Mark Powers, who's a old Marvel editor.
Right.
Special art by Tim Sale. I think he just threw the money at it, you know?
Yeah. He did the stapling, I think.
Yeah. Which is great, because he probably owns a piece of it, and if it goes anywhere, then he's a producer.
Well, they probably already have it.
And cast himself.
Like, seriously, fuck this guy. I mean,
Whoa! Come on!
How much money does he need?
You know, and he's already on Heroes. He's clearing, like, probably $100,000 an episode.
Oh, man!
Jesse, let me ask you a question. Why doesn't Marvel not do this, but why doesn't Marvel do more comic books like this that aren't so? I mean,
it sucks. That's why.
Well, exactly. This sucks, but clearly there's a market out there for something like this. Marvel, we know Marvel can make great movies. If they could do something like this, make it really good and make a great movie out of it, they have the resources.
Sure, I think that they're sitting on top of, you know, the biggest independent movie studio in the world right now.
Yeah.
If you look at how well they did this year. And I think there's so many smaller... I mean, look at Blade. Okay, Blade is at best a D-tier character.
Aww.
Before the movies came out. Before the movies came out, he was not on anybody's radar.
No.
But David Goyer wrote an amazing screenplay, and he said, hey, what if we took, you know, like a modern swipe of black exploitation in Hong Kong action and horror movies, and it was amazing. There are a lot of characters like Blade where
Power Pack.
Thank you.
Yes.
Where like you could make a $30 million movie, you know, that's not like Iron Man or Hulk where it's $150 million in production and another $75 million to produce it. Where you know there are characters, you know, that are you know that would hit more of an indie vibe like that, that are already out there that everybody knows the name of. And I think that they've got to work through those before they get down to like working on Kick-Ass. Which is its own thing, but like, you know, before they started to like branch out into other.
Well, but I think something
areas.
Like this, you know, the reason it isn't done more often is because comic fans can smell something bad from that.
Yes.
You know, I would say I was reading that, and initially I was like, oh, I'm not interested in this at all because I know this is going to be junk because it's Milo Ventimiglia Presents. But then I read that it was written by Mark Powers, who I like his work on Drafted, and I was like, oh, okay, you know what, I'm going to give it a chance. So from a comic fan's perspective, I think they're more interested in that comic book side of thing.
Yeah.
But this is not selling to comic book fans. This
right.
is selling to Heroes fans to make some money and sell a comic
right.
book.
But I just feel like if you could do something at Marvel and give it Marvel's imprimatur and make it really, really good, I think you would expand comic book readership, and then you could nurture it along and it'd be a great movie, too. And then Marvel would have control of it the whole way through, like they did with Iron Man. And that turned out really... Why not just take that one step further?
Well,
Jesse.
I think the reason is, I mean, it won't happen at least in the next 5 years is because there's so many properties like Deadpool, Iron Fist, that like would make amazing movies if they're done right. And the trick is to not rush into it, to get the right creators behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and to do it correctly. You know?
Like Fantastic Four 2. We all on the same page.
Let's move on. Possible next franchise for Marvel: Avengers Invaders number 4. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I don't like this either. They're doing literally, if you were like, what's the most boring time travel idea? They're doing it. It's like they're doing Back to the Future, which
isn't boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mixed with like awesome explosions.
Yeah. Boring. No, really, like there's a scene in here where Doctor Strange is like, yeah, the past is being erased. I'll put a spell up so it doesn't hurt us and let's figure out why these invaders are here. And it's like, oh, of course. It's so easy.
Right, and for some reason, I mean, this has been my continual problem with this series, is for some reason the guys of the present, the Avengers, are like, oh, we can't talk to them about the past. At all. Yeah. That would be too dangerous. That would be too dangerous if they know what had happened between then and now. As opposed to every single other time travel storyline where they're like, hey, you're dead, by the way. I can't believe you're back. Cool.
This is so weird. Yeah, let's go fight someone.
It is completely the most rote storyline possible.
Yeah. And yeah. I like the invaders, and it's there. You could have come up with a bunch of different
ways.
They
have a lot of human torches on that team.
Yeah, they do more than you'd think.
Yeah. Three of them.
Yeah, I just feel that like this, it's the problem is it's just a different cover on stuff that's already happened. It's a lot of origin stories. It's a lot of stuff that I've already seen. So I just kind of thumbed through it and I'm like,
Plus, it's 12 issues long. Yeah. It's so long.
Well, there's a lot of story to tell.
Yeah, I guess they're gonna have
still,
to.
They're still
but
in the stage
the
artists each other before they team up.
Do you think the invaders will end up going back to World War II?
No, I think they're all gonna die.
Well, I guess we'll see. Tune in for the next 8 months.
What do you guys think? Is the superhero team up played out?
When it's just about putting as many people in one panel as you can, yes. And I feel like I feel like when they talk about the original idea for the Avengers, it's like, why not get all your favorite characters in one comic? But I feel like most of your avid readership now is a little bit more sophisticated, and they don't want you just to bring out these characters they love, only to do nothing with them. And so I think unless you have room to tell those stories, it doesn't matter. You're not really using those characters in this.
Just quick science experiment. Pete, they released a 4-issue miniseries called Punisher versus Wolverine. All they do is fight.
Yes.
The leadership is there.
I believe he was saying I was sophisticated. Why don't we get back to that?
You misinterpreted him.
Rolling back. Oh, yeah.
Something that, like, I've had some adventures in Hollywood with Rex Mundy, and sometimes Hollywood producers will say, oh, we need stories about monkeys. We need monkey stories. That's what's selling. And then 2 weeks later, they'll say, no more monkeys. Now, now it's all about robots. We need robot stories. I don't think there's any such thing as like a bad story. There's just badly executed stories. So whether it's superhero team or monkeys or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I mean, on the face of it, it sounds like it sounds bizarre and like it wouldn't work. But if it's well executed, that's what really matters.
Yeah.
It's the writing that
counts. The New York Comic Con, Andy Schmidt had a panel. Andy Schmidt's a former editor at Marvel and teaches this comic book class on how to write a comic book in the comic book format. And he's now the editor-in-chief at IDW out in San Diego, and he had a great panel where one of the guys said, look, my 5-year-old daughter comes up with great ideas, but you have to be a good writer to take those ideas and, you know, make them entertaining and engaging.
Right.
Your point, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, on paper, stupidest thing in the world.
Right.
But it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And, funny story, that 5-year-old girl wrote Transformers. On. This is actually tying in very nicely to our discussion. Iron Man Viva Las Vegas, second issue by Jon Favreau, with art by Adi Granov. What do you guys think about this issue? And this obviously ties into Jon Favreau directing Iron Man, writing the Iron Man series.
I don't remember. Was there an Iron Man movie? Did that come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
They should have released this back then. Might have done a little bit better.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't know. It's a lot of choppy phrases. He's not a particularly good comic book writer.
Yeah.
Most of the good stuff that Jon Favreau does is improvisational riffing with his actors.
Right.
That's what he does best.
Do that in the comic book.
They can.
Yeah, they riff a lot in
they can
Iron
do.
Man and the Big Bang Boom. Have this great improv. They
yeah,
ask for a suggestion. And
that was a lame.
They yes and each other.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
That was a lame reveal to me. The Ping Pam Poom was that. The new golden dragon. I was just like, really? It was just a horrible version of Fing Fan Foom.
It is kind of terrible. There's Fing Fan Foom is a statue in front of a casino. And last issue left off where all these lizards were invading the casino. this issue starts with like, well, good thing we got rid of those lizards.
Wow. Very deft storytelling.
Did you read this?
Yeah, I did. I actually read this morning. And I had maybe the ultimate nerd moment of my life, which was once the Fing Fang Boom reveal happened, I was immediately struck with two problems. I was like, number one, he knows what Fing Fang Foom looks like, so once he sees the statue, he should be like, that's weird, that looks exactly like secondly, and this was when I really felt bad, he's there with Eliza Bloodstone, like, yeah. Talk about a C-D level character.
She was and far below that.
And he's like, oh no, this is Fing Fang Foom, and she's like, what? And in Next Wave, she fought Fing Fang Foom.
Oh!
So, not only did she fight him, she got stuff down his underpants.
Oh, that's right.
She knows him in the...
Yeah, exactly. So, well, then maybe she was trying to repress that memory. But I remember being like, that's ridiculous, because that happened in that issue. And then I was like, oh, I have achieved that level.
Welcome to the comic book club.
Yeah. That's it for the stack. Yeah. It is time for my next question.
Here we go.
Which is my favorite section because you guys make it up, it's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Booth Woman.
I think she prefers Lady Booth Man.
Oh, Lady Booth Man.
Booth Girl, Booth Lady, Booth Woman.
Hi.
This would be awkward.
The sexual tension on this stage is shocking.
You guess what's going on?
Hey guys, we've moved on.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Where are we?
Okay, first question.
Yeah, our first question is for Arvid. And the question is, what was the impetus behind Rexman?
Oh, well, actually, right after college, I went to France. It was the first time I had ever been there. And, I was looking at a church, and the woman I was sitting with noticed and said, do you like that church? I said, yes. She said it was built in the year 800 by the Normans. And I thought, Jesus Christ, 800? It was over 1,000 years old, and it was just standing there. And, you know, in the San Diego convention, there's all these signs for the Del Mar Raceway. It says, you know, the ancient built in 1932. And just like a different scale of history over there. So like this just got me thinking about how ancient Western civilization is. And I grew up Christian, and you don't really think about how kind of what a weird religion it is. Let's kind of take a step back and go, Jesus, this is really. Thanks. This is
a stand-up routine.
This is really, really strange, the things that we all believe. And why do we believe these things? And a lot of them are just accidental or because of politics or some council that a bunch of bishops had 1,000 years ago. And so much of our understanding of reality and of spirituality is impacted by that. So that's why.
Yeah. Good answer. I love you delivered that right to Lady Boothman.
Is that right?
Booth
Babe.
No, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Booth Babe.
Alright. Oh! Oh! Let's do this!
Come on!
Let's do this!
Woo! Next question!
Damn!
I'll talk about this moment.
For everyone.
Lay off.
Why do there seem to be limited issues of crossovers?
Limited issues.
Meaning,
they don't publish enough of them.
They sell out, you mean?
Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
That's cool.
Because the main revenue source in comics today is the trade paperback model. You know, they've at least for Marvel, they'll cap a print run at a certain number, and then they won't make any more. And I actually really like that because I always feel like if I'm getting books on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, you know, and I miss one, I'm like, ah, you know, what happens in the fourth issue or the fifth one now, and life is over! Yeah, so I think when I get the trade paperback, there's the whole story is right there. If you're talking about crossovers between, like, our companies, is that the question? Did I misunderstand that?
Final Crisis, Secret Invasion, I didn't get the one about the newspaper, issue number 3.
See, you have the same problem I do?
That's because of the Skrulls in New York City took them.
Ah! Yes.
insulted.
I got a bag of cookies.
For the people who asked these questions. Take your time.
Yeah, we forgot.
Okay, we got action figures. So who asked the first question?
All right.
Take your pick. Yeah,
they do well with
this is well with your recording.
And what's the next question?
Not that there's 6 inches.
Recorders. Who is the most whacked out artist you would like to see on Batman?
The most whacked out artist. Artist we'd like to see on Batman.
Define whacked out. How does one?
How does one get whacked out?
Yeah.
If I may ask.
Not someone you'd expect on Batman.
Oh.
The most unusual choice for
Jeffrey
Batman.
Brown.
Ha!
Al Jaffe.
Wow. Picasso. Can I say that?
Well, no.
Is that a good answer?
That would be pretty wacky.
Jackson Pollock. just flexing my art muscles. You know those underground artists that I just mentioned.
But yeah, in all seriousness, I mean, I love Guy Davis. I'd love to see his take on anything. So. And I think so much of what I love about Batman is the beautiful architecture of Gotham City. He does architectural detail so beautifully. It's always the third kind of silent character in all of his comics. I don't know if he's ever done Batman, but I know he'd be awesome at it. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
And that's it for your audience questions. Okay, while Pete does that, it's time for our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek. First thing we are going to talk about, there are a couple of clips leaked from Heroes' second season online. They're going to be on the DVD. One of them was George Takei's superpower. We never found it out during the season because they cut that scene from the season. Turns out he is a Super Sart supercomputer. Yeah. What do you guys think about that?
Is George Takei in Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
He's a super smart supercomputer.
Yeah.
And he's Asian.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah. That's shit right there.
Yeah. Well, the show, he was like, "That's racist." I was
he's
like,
"Super good at math."
He makes amazing sushi.
Yeah,
it's probably one of those things where like someone caught it, like, "Hey guys, we can't put this in the show," so they were like,
"Really?" They put a lot of stuff in that show.
Yeah. It was bad. Also, though, what does he do that's so super smart on the show? He stands around and talks.
Well,
slowly,
he made his money by guessing which stocks were going to work.
Wow.
So he guesses.
Computers don't guess very well.
I didn't write it.
All right, so
you're stupid for having said it.
I would say you're not a supercomputer.
I don't know what that means. All right, let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about is Star Trek. The Star Trek movie is coming out, and there's actually been a couple of posters released of it.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to talk about posters because that's boring. Go ahead, 2 slides.
Sorry.
You can't really see this, but this is Simon Pegg.
Wow. This movie's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there you go. We'll have a better projector. Sure. What do you guys think about the Star Trek movie? Are you excited, nervous, care?
Is Picard going to be in it?
No, it's a reboot of original Star Trek continuity.
Oh.
With an entirely new cast. Simon Pegg,
is
Carl
he Shatner?
Urban.
Is that?
Shatner's not in it, but his character, it's Kirk.
He's Kirk.
Yeah,
okay.
Kirk, there's a Kirk in it, young Kirk.
Oh, wow.
I think that, honestly, like, in reading all the, like, post-Comic-Con wrap-up, everybody, the general consensus was that this was the biggest failure at
no
Comic-Con.
One was talking
that,
about.
That, because they didn't bring any footage down, they didn't promote it, you know, and this is, like, your core audience right here. I mean, like, the big news last year was Iron Man, the big news this year is Watchmen.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you have to, the one thing Marvel learned is that if you don't appease the core audience, then the rest of the world isn't going to care about it.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I'm like a tertiary Star Trek fan. I'm not really that engaged in it, but I'm fascinated to see what you're
engaged in it.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are like secondary Star Trek.
But I'm curious to see what J.J. Abrams does with this. I think he's a really great. I think he's fantastic, and I'll be really interested. I mean, I'm on board to see where he wants to go with this.
I feel like a lot of the fans are going to not like it, because I feel like he's going to try to do a really fresh take, which I think Star Trek fans have proven they do not like.
Yeah.
I will say, even if it was a failure at the con, which I think generally it was, the last day we were doing an interview across from the Paramount booth, you couldn't get through because they were doing this thing where you had to team up with people to get 6 or 7 scratch cards and get a free bag to share among 7 of you or something like that. People were going crazy. Totally crazy. That's my whole story. yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, cool. All right. Let's... Yes?
No, nothing. I wish I was more excited about it because I love like Star Trek The Next Generation, all those. Yeah. And I'm just not...
Speaking of things that people are not excited about turning to another franchise, Star Wars Clone Wars comes out this Friday. Wow. What do you guys think about that?
A lot of sound effects in the audience. I love it.
I was in a movie theater last week, 2 weeks ago. Oh, I was rewatching Batman and IMAX, The Dark Knight.
And, you gotta see an IMAX, man. You gotta.
So good. And I thought this was very telling. When it started, there was a little kid sitting right in front of me. He's like, "What?" And then they're like, "Star Wars." And he goes, "Oh."
That's awesome.
You know what really sucks is that when they did the three movies, I was like, oh man, like what the fuck? And but when Genndy Taramovsky did those vignettes, animated vignettes, I was like, this is it. Yeah. Like this property isn't like it works. You just need somebody who knows how to tell good stories to do it. And when I saw the stuff at Toy Fair, like I saw like 12 minutes of this. I'm like, there's all action scenes. And like when I was hearing about it from Hasbro, because they're working on this, they're like, Lucas is doing something really unique. He's putting 100 episodes in the can before he ever talked to a studio, which is like you're swinging such a big stick. He's like, I finished this thing. Like, that never happens. You get the studio to pay for it. He's paying for all this himself. And every review that's come back so far, like, has been terrible. Ain't It Cool News had to pull all the reviews because everyone was terrible. And then Warner Brothers was like, we told you guys, we showed you the movie. You can't post your reviews until the movie comes out. You know, so there's this
terrible?
Thing. Yeah, really bad.
Oh, man.
And they love everything.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
So, for myself, I didn't even watch, what was it, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
I saw the first one. It actually made me like the original movies less. You know, so I wanted to preserve the memory of what I liked about those originals. There's a real earnestness to them because I think George Lucas had to prove himself. He's definitely a great storyteller. I just don't know what happened. I think maybe he's just resting on his laurels or something like that.
I actually think he's a better conceptualist than he is storyteller.
Yeah,
because he just really wrote the first movie, and he let other really good writers and directors handle the second.
Yeah,
two
right, like Lawrence Kasdan.
At this point, the Star Wars franchise is broken, and it needs somebody other than George Lucas to fix it. I think.
Justin.
Yeah!
You in the audience, definitely. I picked you.
No,
it needs to be. Yeah, I picked you.
I'm still.
Your time.
You never picked me.
I'm still way too pissed off about what he's done to me to go and support this.
I don't know if he did it to you.
All right, last thing we're going to talk about in Week in Geek is Dark Knight Returns. We talked about, obviously, Dark Knight a lot here. Rumor going around, based on absolutely no fact whatsoever, is that the next movie will be a straight adaptation of Dark Knight Returns, by Frank Miller, of course. Assuming that was true, what would you think about that?
I just don't understand, because the movie is done so well. Like, if they did that first, you know what I mean? Like,
if they did Dark Knight Returns before Dark Knight.
Well, no, just like if they came out with, you know, like, making it straight from the comic book before Chris Nolan and everybody did such an amazing job, that would be one thing. But I feel like it would almost be like going backwards to do this.
Right.
Well, it would ruin the franchise. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think you can ruin that franchise. Why? I mean, if that was the case, Joel Schumacher would have died.
Yeah.
You know? I doubt
he tried
heavily.
Very hard.
He did.
I know he did. I doubt very much that this was a straight adaptation. I think Nolan's going to do his own thing.
Ice Day.
But I think that I could conceivably Warner Brothers could do a straight adaptation of that if it's like direct to DVD animation, like what they're, because they have a great division doing this.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes.
Like, what was it, the one that came up last
Frontier?
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I would be real hard pressed to believe that they would kind of wipe the slate with young, good looking celebrities Yeah. And getting like some grizzled old thing. Like, but I wouldn't be surprised if those rumblings are maybe talking about. I think it. Dude, I'm always torn as to whether I want to see a story that I know done in a film, more visceral version, or if I just want to see something new, you know? And like V for Vendetta and Watchmen making those, you don't need to make them into movies because that story is fine.
Well, I think the reason people are responding to The Dark Knight is because it is something new.
Yeah.
It's a new story about Batman that draws on different aspects of the Batman mythology but creates its own thing. There's a filmic world rather than a comic book world suddenly live on screen.
Well, the other thing that they did really well, obviously, was the Joker. I mean, everybody's perception of that character was what Jack Nicholson did and what, you know, they did in the 60s. And that reinterpretation of the character, they totally nailed it. Plus, Heath Ledger's passing obviously made it a lot more of a, you know, wow, I have to see this. It's an event thing that we have to, you know, it's kind of like Titanic. You know, it's the male version of Titanic.
Wow.
It is time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn over to Mr. P. LePage.
Mr. P. LePage!
So really into that Titanic music there. Alright, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. We give you an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of gifts or given to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win 25? Yes, first hand up. Come on down.
Come on down. Don't put your shoes on.
Yeah. What's your name?
Max.
Max, audience? Audience Max.
I'm Max.
All right. This gift card could be yours. Keep it on my side of the table for now. Here we go. How this is going to work is today's trivia is about Rex Mundy. So if you were paying attention, you should be able to do all right at least one of these questions. But how it's going to work is I'm going to read you the question, then I'll read you all three choices, listen to all three, then pick the correct one. Here we go. Question number one. Thank you. Thank you, booth lady.
Babe.
All right.
That's why I didn't say babe. All right, here we go.
You and me, we're going to talk after that.
The name... All right, here we go. The name Rex Mundi is Latin for A, King of Kings, B, King of the World, or C, Royale with Cheese. So it's either A, King of Kings, or B, King of the World.
B.
Oh, my God! Right out of the box, one for one. Here we go. This is to see if you were paying attention. Here we go. The creator of Rex Mundi came up with the concept while in what city? Is it A, Rome, B, Paris, or C, Candyland?
That would be B again.
Yeah! No help on my part. No help. Nice work out there.
England's more of a nation.
That's a good point. I'm going to fire my researcher. All right, here we go. Rex Mundi is also the name of a fictional immortal character from what comics Ultraverse? Is it A, Malibu Comics, B, Devil's Due Publishing, or C, Barbie and Gems independent comics called Fuck the Mainstream? So it's either A, Malibu Comics, or B, Devil's Due Publishing.
Yeah. Malibu was a bit before my time, but I'll go with A.
Yeah! 3 for 3! $25 free for you, sir. Nice work out there. Thank you.
Tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor this show. But what are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
Well, I got two. I'm excited because, it's upsetting that it's the last, but Punisher Max, number 60. Woo. And this is the last one. Hopefully we'll come back and do some more. But also, they're re-releasing Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe.
I don't know why you would like that.
You're looking forward to that.
Just Punisher standing on a pile of dead bodies. Oh, Still awesome.
Well, that's what we've been talking about during the show. You know, it's not the story, it's the execution.
Yeah, totally.
I've been right. I've been listening and agreeing with everything you guys have been saying.
You're going to have great kids. I'm looking forward to the second issue of the Hellboy book coming out. The first one was fantastic. It's great. New reader friendly. Pick it up.
Fantastic Four. We've actually already read it. I will say that in advance. We've been kind of sour on the series, Millar and Hitch, not really living up to their potential of being mega superstars. This issue is awesome.
So
absolutely
good.
Slam bang, amazing. Everything you would want from a Miller and Hitch comic. It's that good. Great last page reveal. Not going to ruin it for you. So, so good. If you've been iffy on the series so far,
you have to pick up this comic.
Worth waiting through the first five shitty issues for this one.
Absolutely. 100%.
Hobby Japan number 56. If you're into anything that's cool from Japan that's three dimensional, Hobby Japan will show you things that will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And plug one of your figures coming out again. What's coming out? The Marvel U.
Well, before that, we have several different waves of Marvel Legends. The 6-inch Marvel Legends build a figure waves. We have one wave that's going to Target. You can build Ares, who is like the Wolverine version of Thor.
Yep.
The second wave is going to Walmart. It's going to be the Red Hulk. You build the Red Hulk. It's all the sculpting.
So you're just making toys for Pete.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And then we have
see
the Big Bang Foom build a figure, which is you take it's part of the Hulk wave. A little bit more expensive because the Fing Fang Foom is about this big when you build it and put it together.
Cool. Awesome.
He does not have no shorts on. He has shorts. Wait.
Good. Does he have shorts?
I can't remember.
Do you have big purple short things?
Yeah.
Or is one of the pieces like a dragon penis?
No, you know what? Dragon penis are on the inside like a crocodile. Somebody gets hurt and it spills out.
I'm glad you know that.
No!
Science lesson.
Yeah,
come on.
It's true. The science of dragons.
Yeah.
James,
you guys never seen a dragon have sex? Grow up.
I'm seeing that's not in here, but I'm still mostly living from Buffy to Buffy comic. I really
yes.
Yes. That's a big hang up for me. That's my number one.
Is Joss Whedon writing those?
Yes. He's overseeing the story through all of them, and then there are different writers writing different arcs. You can feel his fingerprints all over it.
Whoa! All over your body.
I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus.
That's horrible. X-Men Manifest Destiny number one.
X-Men Manifest Destiny number one. Yeah.
Congratulations, you asshole. That's awesome.
I'm hoping that as a result of this show that I get picked to direct the next Marvel movie.
We have a meeting after the show.
Yeah. No, I know we're not invited to that. I'll be at the bar.
Anything you're looking forward to or just your...
I don't really read very many comics.
Mostly when we have creators on the show, they're so busy working that they don't actually get a time to read.
Yeah,
So what do you have coming up? You have August 20th, right?
Yeah, well, and Rex Money is almost done, too. I mean, we just have another... We're on the last story arc right now, so it's almost finished. So
has collected in four volumes so far?
There are four so far. It'll be six total.
Okay.
And I am excited about number 13, just because we're doing the whole online thing. I mean, Scott Alley, my editor, put me through, like, 9 rewrites of the synopsis itself. It was like a 63,000 word synopsis. It was like a novel, and we got it down to like 20,000 words. So now the story is just really tight, and it's really there, and it's going to be great. Yeah.
Great. And what's for you after that, or are you going to take a little break?
I'm working on a novel and a screenplay. So
wow.
Yeah, there's not enough time to talk about that probably. So
we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Quick thing to plug before we go. Next week, we are 100% for real, I promise.
I don't believe it.
I'm going to have Tom Brevoort on
the
show.
No. I will not be wrong 3 times, yes. Tom Brevoort.
He confirmed it today. We'll see what happens. And Wyatt Senek from The Daily Show is also going to be on the show.
Nice.
So tune in for that.
Tune in by coming here.
Yeah.
And a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Jesse Romero. We want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you.